Ron Van Dam is different than most podcast hosts. He really understands his audience.
They like to be smacked and whipped.
Well, I think we're going to get along just fine. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, what are you doing here? Thanks for stopping by. Let's spend a little bit of time together. In a non-partial distancing manner. I think if we got to know each other, this couldn't work. I don't want to know anything about you. I swear you don't want to know anything about me. A lot of people say, Ron Van Dam, are you a caring, loving individual? Oh, if you had to ask, then seriously? Yeah, I'm caring and I'm very loving. It's everybody else that sucks. Except you, because you decided to listen, so not you. Okay, that'll be enough. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Can you tell? It's me. Look. All right. Enough of this crap. Let's get started. Put a bib on. This is going to drip all over your chest. This whole show is going to it's going to drip on your pants eventually. Oh, what a great title for a book. It's going to drip on your pants eventually. I don't know what that means, but it makes you think about what it means. Ron, I don't know what you're getting at. I know, that's the best part. That's my goal in life, to make sure that everybody that I communicate with me has no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm so successful so far. I was brought up that way. I was. Yeah. My mother just left me alone. Unless I gave her a hard time, then she chased me around the dining room table with a bat. But other than that, she's very understanding. No, she never really. She didn't use a bat. It was a chainsaw. Anyway, welcome to the program. Relax. Here's what you have to do. You have to just shut up for a short period of time. You have nothing to do. Who are you trying to kid? No, that doesn't count as doing something. You have nothing to do. You have no purpose. So just be quiet. Sit down in a chair, drop everything else, and just relax. This is like meditation. I'm going to put you to sleep. There's no question about that. You'll be dozing off like you have propofol or propofol, whatever that stuff is. When they give you the colonoscopy, that stuff's great. Everybody I know who's had a colonoscopy, they don't talk about the bad prep time beforehand. They don't talk about that anymore. All they talk about is, how great is that drug that they use on you? Wow, that is so cool. If you haven't yet had a colonoscopy because either you're scared to or because you're just way too young, you're 13, why would you need a colonoscopy? Oh, by the way, if there are children in the room, go tell them to go bang on some pots and pans or something. Get them out of here. I don't know what I might say by mistake. Have them leave now in a single file line, keeping 6 feet apart. Make them go play something. Video games. You can go play video games for a short period of time, kids. Go on. Get out of here. So easy to manipulate them. They think they have us wrapped around their fingers. No. They're so easy to manipulate. But in between those manipulation sessions, they drive you nuts. Okay. I don't even know what I was talking about. I have no idea. It's not really even important. All right. Your job is to just sit there and be quiet. Relax. Take it easy. I'm going to fill your head with all kinds of ridiculous notions and things about life that you never noticed before. And now it'll really frustrate you that much more. Because that's what I do. I'm an Uber driver. I overthink everything. When an experience happens in front of my eyes, I overthink it. I think of all the scenarios that can come out of it. I'm just like, wow. It's like I go to town on everything. Just seeing somebody walk down the street, I'm on it, man. I'm on it. Oh, I wonder what their lives are like. Oh, they're gonna kill me. It's just amazing the scenarios you can achieve just by looking at somebody. Anyway, just relax, take it easy, just stop it. Just try to think about nothing. That's what I do on this show. I think about nothing, and it works for me. I've been doing this for 30 years, so shut up. Okay, anyway. I hate to be tricked. I hate to be swindled. I hate to be manipulated. That's why I don't like Trump. Or most presidents, probably. That's, you know, their job is to not be liked. That's pretty much it. This president that we have right now has achieved that royally. Not liked by anything, or anybody. If you support him, I don't even know what to say. Anyway, that's not why I'm here. I don't like to be swindled. I don't like to be deceived. About half a year ago, before this whole social experiment took place, I was looking for a car. Sometimes I'll walk into a car dealership when I'm not even really wanting a car. I just enjoy walking into a place and getting free coffee. I mean, seriously, man. You walk into a car dealership, you're like the king of Prussia. I don't even know where that is. I think it's in New Jersey. I actually do think it's in New Jersey. I think there is a Prussia in New Jersey. I really don't know. You walk into a car dealership, and they come up, they greet you, they want to take you to dinner. Can I get you some free coffee? Would you like to sit in our vibrating chair? You want to date my daughter? I mean, it's whatever. Can I offer you a free donut? A free brownie? Can I kiss your ass? But it's a ruse, because in the end, even though they're kissing your ass, you will sell your ass to the devil. I got as far one time to actually be interested in a particular automobile, and the salesperson, this guy. And by the way, I'm not saying that all salespeople are like this, just most of them. It's their job. That's what they do. Their job is to sell you a car. They're not there to kiss your ass. They're there to sell you a car. They're not there to offer you free donuts. They're there to sell you a car. You are not leaving that building until you buy a car, unless you have the willpower that I have and you walk in with the attitude that everybody sucks. That's how you get out of that building. So I'm interested in a car, and I say to the guy, well, how much is this car? And he said, well, that particular model you're looking at is $45,000. I said, wow, my God, I think I've just filled my pants up with something. That's a lot of money. And he said, yes, it is. But we have great payment options, and you won't find a car like this for less than $45,000. This is loaded, and so am I, to be honest with you. It's loaded. And I said, no, that's really, really too much. And here's the game that I play. I start walking out the door. They don't actually restrain you. I mean, you can actually leave, but they will psychologically try to stop you. I take about three or four steps. This happens every time. It's textbook. And the sales guy, he says, well, wait a minute. How about, I might have some incentives. Stay here. Let me talk to my sales manager. Oh, you mean that fictitious thing that's around the corner? Yeah, that. So he goes around the corner. He comes back like in 2 minutes, and he says, all right, I've spoken to the sales manager. We like you. Your credit is good. We like people like you who have legs. We like that in this dealership. So 45,000. We're going to knock it down to 40,000. Wow. You're taking $5,000 off just because I turned around and started walking. What if I hadn't turned around and started walking? That car would have been mine for $45,000. But because I played your little game, I turned around and started walking. You knocked $5,000 off the price of the car. Wow. Manipulation? You would have screwed me if I said yes. Not literally. I mean, you know, financially. But Ron ain't finished playing the game yet. So I say, that's a very, very thank you for that offer. But I'm going to go to some other dealerships and just compare prices okay, go on. I don't think you'll find it lower than that. If you do, come on back. I said, what? Well, yeah, come on back. If you find a lower price, come on back. Tell me what it is and we'll see what we can do. What? What are you talking about? Well, that's what I'll do. You know, just hold on a second, Ron. Let me go behind the corner again and make believe I'm talking to my sales manager. I'll be right back. All right, fine. And I stand there and I have a donut, you know, and another cup of coffee. I've now had about 27 cups of coffee and 3 dozen donuts. And he comes back around the corner and says, I just spoke to my sales manager, who obviously doesn't exist. And we're going to knock another 5,000 off. In other words, we're going to bring it down to 35,000. Oh, wow. You've taken 10,000. You've basically a quarter of the cost of the car you have taken off because I negated your price. And he says, yes, all right. I know you're not going to find it less for 30. Don't even bother going to other places. You can go if you want. You're not going to find it for less than that. And I'll tell you what, I'll throw in a muffler. I'll throw in the muffler. It doesn't come with a muffler, but we'll throw it in. We'll throw it in. Do you like undercoating on your carriage? Yeah. You come to my house? What are you talking about? No, not that. No. I mean, we're going to do a rust proofing on the bottom. Oh, the car's not rust proof on the bottom. That's interesting. And you know what, Ron? $35,000, the rust proofing, the muffler, and we're going to throw in the steering wheel. You mean the steering wheel didn't come with it before? Oh, not for that price. No. Steering wheel is optional. Why do you drive the car without a steering wheel? Well, I know. $35,000, Ron. And I walk out, and this guy actually chases me in the parking lot like I've just broken up with him after 6 months of dating. Ron, please don't go. Please, Ron, please. Oh, let go of my pant legs, will you, sir? Please, this is embarrassing. Why are you leaving? I took $10,000 off the car. I spoke to the nothing behind the wall there, the fictional sales manager. Well, what can I do? You can't do anything. You know why? Because you dicked with me. You gave me a price of $45,000. And if I had said yes, like some weak little person, I would have been paying $10,000 too much. Do I trust you? No, I don't. Suck on this, Mr. Salesperson. You just lost at your own game. Oh, Mr. Van Dam, you've taught me such a valuable lesson. I will quit my job today and get a real job. No, this is a real job. I get it. It's okay. But I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Well, that happened about 6-8 months ago. I think it was 10 years ago. I'm not sure. I've lost track of all time. I don't know what day of the week it is. I on the calendar it says it's Tuesday. Feels like Monday because yesterday was a holiday. Screwed me up for all time. For months and months, I'll be off by a day. Well, recently, a little closer to the beginning of the social experiment that we're all going through, I needed to have my hardwood floors redone. I have hardwood floors. I have hardwood floors in my downstairs bathroom, which is stupid because who wants hardwood floors where there's like water around? It's just stupid and urine. It just doesn't make any sense. So I needed them redone. So I call up this company who does hardwood floors. They say, we'll beat anybody's price. Here we go again. Free estimate. Okay, fine. But they have to come to my house. I can't go to a place and get donuts now. They have to come to my house and look at my floors. And this is before the social experiment, so you were letting people in your house. Little did you know. So this guy comes over with a clipboard and everything, like he's going to take me to volleyball practice. And he's looking at my floors, and he's working out some numbers. And he says, we're going to redo your floors here. For these rooms that you want redone on the hardwood, that's going to be $7,000. Wow, $7,000. That's a lot of money. Well, Ron, we do the best job in the world, and we've checked it out even better than they do in India. Or Prussia, even in Prussia. So $7,000. I don't know. To be honest with you, sir, I did have somebody else in, and they offered me $5,000. Well, their quality is not going to be like we have. $5,000, that's really low. I mean, that's, I don't know how they do that. That's like really, really low. I'm quoting you $7,000. You're going, say you had somebody and gave you a $5,000. They're going to do some lousy work. Well, I'm going to have to think about it. Well, Ron, hold on a second. I'm going to make a fictitional phone call on my cell phone. There'll be nobody on the other end, but I'm going to make believe that my sales manager is on the other end of the phone call. And let me just do that. So just hold on 1 second. And don't leave the room. You can hear my side of the conversation because that's how this works. Hello, Bob. Yeah, I'm with Mr. Van Dam. I quoted him the $7,000. That's with our discounts and everything. He claims that someone gave him a quote for $5,000 to do the same square footage. Uh-huh. Yeah, of course he's a nice guy. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask him. Hold on. If we do it for $5,000, will you tell your friends about us and that kind of thing? I guess I would. All right, hold on a second. Bob, yes, he says that he would tell his friends about it and recommend us and all that. So we can go down to $5,000. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Bob. Okay. I just spoke to my sales manager who really is dead. I just made believe I was calling somebody, and we're going to bring the price down from $7,000 to $5,000. Here's the paperwork, sign right here. I don't think so. What do you mean you don't think so? I'm matching the other guy's price. I went down $2,000. What are you talking about? I don't think so, Mr. Van Dam. Because you tried to swindle me. You originally gave me a price of $7,000. You said that was the best you could do. If I could find a price that's lower than $7,000, then you would give it to me. You wouldn't give me $5,000 unless you could afford to give me $5,000. So where's your integrity? You tried to swindle me. You played me. I would have paid $2,000 too much if I had said yes. But instead we go through this little game. No, I will not sign your contract because I don't trust you. You're a swindler. You're not a man of his word. You're not even a man of the cloth. You don't even have any cloth. No, I'm afraid not. No, go. Go suck wind. Get out of my house. Matter of fact, you're trespassing now. Get out of my house. I have two pit bulls who don't like human flesh other than mine. They'll tear you up to so many pieces, Humpty Dumpty won't be able to put you back together again.
Well, that's not how the story went, Ron. All the king's horse.
Oh, shut up and get out of my house.
Uh-huh.
You go, Ron. You go, girl.
I've been around too long. I mean that. When I was younger, when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, I could have been taken easily. My eyes were too wide open. My experiences were not fulfilled yet. I was under the care and supervision of my parents. They made all the decisions for me. So when it would come time for me to make decisions, I made lousy ones. And that was when I was a young adult. When I filtered into the 19, 20, 21 category, I thought I knew everything. I thought I had my freedom. You can take my pants, but you can't take my freedom. I don't know what movie that's from. I think it was E.T., that little Scottish alien. Remember him? But I was making tons of mistakes. I got my first credit card when I was like, I think I was 18 years old or something like that. And I went traveling. I went to England. And I think I was about 20, I guess. I don't know. Why are you asking me? Stop grilling me. I went to England. I put thousands and thousands of dollars on my credit card. And nobody told me, you got to pay that stuff back. It's not a gift. I'll just pay it back over the next 50 years. That's not a problem. No, they're minimum payments. And the interest keeps going. What are you talking about? Compound interest, man. Didn't you ever learn that in school? No, they didn't teach me that. Oh, my God, they're wasting our time on algebra and geometry and all that kind of crap. They never taught me the stuff I needed to know to live from day to day. Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it, huh? Now you got all this useless crap in your head and you basically don't know anything. Yeah, I know. This is sad. Yeah, it took me a long time to pay that credit card off. And that was a lesson learned. But I had to learn all my lessons. They were teachable moments. Where was Obama when I needed him? Yeah, that was a rough patch, man. And every time I went to my parents, you know, I wouldn't go to my parents with my problems because I wanted to show that I was an independent, smart little guy. I knew what I was doing. I didn't need their guidance anymore. So I made it a point not to tell them stuff. But then after the fact, we would sit around, you know, on the holidays and they'd go, Ronnie, how you doing? How's everything? Well, I got a credit card. I spent too much. Interest rate was ridiculous. I'm still trying to pay it off. Oh, you asshole. You should have come to me. I would have told you not to get the credit card. There are various rates on credit. Oh, you stupid idiot. I know, Dad. I wanted to be independent. And I wanted to make my own decisions. But here's the trick, man. Here's the trick. And here's the thing. That's why raising kids is so difficult. Raising kids is so difficult because they have to make their own mistakes. It's painful for a parent to watch their child make these horrible, horrible, painful mistakes in life that cost them a lot of money, a lot of heartache, a lot of emotional, horrible things, horrible relationships. Oh, man, I loved her and she dumped me. Oh, Ron, what are you doing now? But they have to make their own. The only way you learn is by making mistakes. I don't know who it was who told me that. I don't know if it was Obama or Biden or someone. And it was so true that you have to learn from your mistakes. If you don't learn anything from your mistakes, then they were horrible situations. If you learn from your mistakes, then they were teachable moments. And now you won't make that mistake again. Except for you stupid people who keep making the same mistake. You keep dating the same kind of person that never works out. You date the personalities that just don't work for you. I like to date the bad boys. Okay, have a good time. You ain't going to get anywhere with that. Oh, I'm going to turn him into a good boy. Oh, I see. You're going to change him? Yeah, trying to change people into something else. Good luck with that. Even if you find Jesus, Jesus isn't always going to be there. Sometimes Jesus has to go shopping and you're left alone. You're going to make the wrong decisions again and be an idiot. I'm telling you, you can't change people. You can change their clothes. Oh, that you can do. Oh, you can change their clothes. Yeah, just get them drunk and they'll wear anything that you want, which can be kinky sometimes. But, change their personalities, you're in for a horrible experience. You know, you can't change that. Can you modify them? Can you temper them a little bit? Temporarily. But basically, no. If they have an addictive personality, you're screwed. If they have anger issues, you're screwed. If they have self-degradation problems that they pawn off on their partner, you're screwed. You got to learn that stuff, man. And sometimes it takes a number of relationships or a number of marriages before you figure that out. And by then, you're 70 years old and you're done. By the way, you're not done at 70. That's when life starts, because that's when you can say, I don't give a shit anymore about anything, and that's the way I'm living my life. I'll be respectful, I'll be nice, but I don't have to do anything. That's when people say, hey Ron, you want to go to the movies? No. What do you mean, no? I don't want to go with you. You're an idiot and you're an asshole and don't want to go. Previous to that age, you always said yes. You want to go to the movies? Oh, I really, I'm not feeling, oh, come on, it'll be fine. It's just for a couple hours. It'll get you out of the house. We'll have a good time. All right, I'll go. Well, you hit a certain age, there's no more all right, I'll go stuff. You just very abruptly answer, no, I'm not going. Why aren't you going? Because I don't want to. Why don't you want to? Look, stop asking me. I'm not going. Maybe some other time. I'll say that, but probably not. I can't stand you. You're annoying. Have a nice life. I just figured out I don't have to say yes anymore. It took me a lot of years to figure that out, but apparently I don't. So no, no. Sorry, no, no. That's called freedom, is what that's called. You don't have to get up and put your pants on and go to work anymore. You can just say, no, I'm not going. Eat your vegetables. They're good for you. No, I'm not eating them. What we revert to our attitudes when we were little children. Because when we were little children, our parents said, eat your vegetables. No, I'm not eating my vegetables. Well, that attitude comes back when you're older. Come on, we're going to go to the doctor. No, we're not going to the doctor. I'm sorry. So in one sense, life gets easier as you get older. In another sense, it gets more difficult. But one way or the other, we all face challenges, as we are right now. They keep saying, oh, you know, we're all going through this together. Well, that doesn't make me feel any better. I don't want to go through this with you. No, I don't. We're all in the same boat. Yeah, the Titanic. That was a weird thing, the Titanic, huh? I mean, it was like really expensive. There were only rich people on it, and it was the maiden voyage, and it hit an iceberg. Or there's like some controversial things about what happened to the Titanic. There were munitions on board that they were in the cargo area, and that blew up or something. Or there was some guy who had herpes on the boat, and I don't know. I guess if you're a survivor on the Titanic and then like years later you went to a bar and you ordered a drink, you would say to the bartender, I'll have a scotch, no ice. No ice, please. No ice. No ice. Are you sure you don't want ice? No ice. Well, I'm out of time for today. I hope you had a nice Memorial Day yesterday, by the way, because it was, nothing. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you be here? Okay, good. I wish you peace.